Oh, man, yes. Hey, like Andy said, my name's Daniel, and it is an honor to be hanging out with you guys tonight. This is not my normal crowd. They're quite a bit younger, and so I'm glad to be, with a little older group tonight and diving into this series called Get Wisdom, this series through the Psalms, looking at the different topics of the Psalms. And tonight, we're going to look at wisdom in our words. And that's probably not nearly as ironic to you as it is to me. But about a year and a half ago, I spoke at the gathering on James 3, which is about using your words. And so I don't know what it is, what Andy's trying to say to me. You know, like, I guess I just need another check-in with my words. Good news, Andy, I'm still growing. So I'm growing in my words. I hope you are too. My most recent lesson with my words came by way of one of my greatest teachers, my 8-year-old son, Fletcher. About a month and a half ago, we got home from work and school and all the things and decided we were gonna work on the bike. We'd been going at this for well over a year, trying to get him to learn how to ride his bike. And, you know, I taught him all the things. We'd shown him all the things. We'd been through this a number of times. But for whatever reason, on this night, I just kind of decided I was gonna do things a little differently. Right, I was done with the teaching. I'd already told them everything about how it works and how to balance and all of that good stuff. And on this night, I was just going to encourage. I was just gonna, the encouraging words of, you can do it, you've got it, keep trying, you can do it. And so what I've got for you is a video, and I don't think the audio is gonna be great, but you're gonna see what happened that night. Look at that. Look at it. He's doing it. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I don't know if you remember what it's like the first time you ride a bike, but man, he was pumped. I mean, just like elated. And what you can't hear in the audio there isn't just that I'm like running alongside him and like speaking words of encouragement. His brother's in the background. He's going, "Let's go, Bubby. Let's go, Bubby. Let's go, Fletcher." Like, he's chanting at him. There's a neighbor kid who I had never met before, just happened to be out that night. He was like, "Yeah, you can do it." You know, and like everyone just kind of came around him and encouraged him. And man, he went to bed that night just like on cloud nine, like a different human, like confidence just swelling. He had conquered this huge obstacle. And then the next day happened. And I get home from work and he's there and he's just kind of like a ball of emotion, a ball of anxiety. He's short, he's snippy. He's like arguing with his brother at the drop of a hat. And I'm like, golly, like what? Who is this kid? Totally different kid. And so I start kind of digging into his day a little bit. And what I find out is that he'd gone to school elated, on cloud nine, like ready to tell his friends and classmates all about how he had learned to ride his bike. And what he was met with, it wasn't like, you know, the people coming around him and rallying around him. Instead, it was like, dude, you're just learning to ride your bike? Like, you're 8 years old. Aren't you too old for that? I learned to ride my bike when I was 4, dude. You're such a baby. And those words for my son completely changed his perception of what had happened the night before. He went from an overcomer and an achiever to being behind and to needing to catch up. He was defeated. In his commentary on Proverbs, David Kidner, in reference to the power of words, writes, "What is done to you is of little account beside what is done in you, for good or ill." And I could see this all over Fletcher that day, all over my son. Gone was the accomplishment, gone was what he had done, and what was left was what those words were doing inside of him. So what's in our words? Actually, quite a lot. Did you know that we speak more than we do just about anything else in life? One body of research found that the average American speaks about 700 times a day. What else do you do 700 times a day? Not much. Proverbs picks up on this, and it has more to say about our words than anything else. And why? Why is that? Well, it's because it matters. Our words matter. I think Proverbs 18:21 sums it up pretty nicely. It says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you get this, don't you? You know this. You've lived this. Think about a time in your life when someone with just their words gave you life. Reminds me of growing up, my pastor, my preacher, his small little church in Arkansas, he would look at me on occasion and he would say to me, you know what, someday you're gonna be a preacher. And through his words and the Holy Spirit working in my life, that started a vision for my life that I don't think I would have had else. Gave me life, and to this day, this gives me life. What about the opposite? What about a time when someone with just their words tore you down? See, our words have power. And this is not a mistake. This is on purpose. In fact, the fact that we speak at all is a sign that we are made by God with power. Right, think about it for just a second. How does the author of Genesis tell us that God created? The refrain over and over again in Genesis 1 is, and God said, and it came to be. You see, our ability to use words is one of the most obvious ways that we can see that we're made in the image of God. And like God, we can use our words for good, to create, to form, to build. But unlike God, we also use our words to destroy, break, and divide. And so knowing this, it is vital that we get some help and assistance around how we use our words. We need some wisdom. So thank God for the book of Proverbs. Thank God for the wisdom that we get from there. Tonight, we're gonna look at four nuggets of wisdom that come from the book of Proverbs and just from life. And the first one is this, our words matter to God. They matter to God. He hears them, he knows them, and we are judged by them. God hears our words and judges us by them. Proverbs 12 gives us one example of this in lying. It says, look, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. 10 commandments. Right? Like the list of the 10 big laws, right? One of them is do not lie. Lying is a big deal to God, but in our world, no, it's common. It's small. It's just the way of the world. And we shouldn't be totally surprised by this. Jesus tells us that Satan is the father of lies. So of course, our world is gonna be that way. And there's this common misconception, this lie that the world tells us that lying is no big deal. And in fact, at times, it's even necessary, right? Like it's what you should do. There was a show in the 2010s, I'm showing my age and maybe my poor taste in shows, but it was about this group of girls that were on a hunt for one of their friends. It was a show called Pretty Little Liars. I know. I'm embarrassed to say I watched a few more episodes than a few. And basically, the idea of the show is the main character's friend has gone missing, and in order to figure out what had happened, they have to lie and deceive basically everyone, their families, the police, even each other. And the story, the show is told in such a way that it makes it seem like that's their only option. And I remember watching on several occasions, several episodes, and just thinking to myself, like, just tell the truth. I just tell the truth. The truth will set you free. Life would be so much easier if you would just be honest with everyone. It was like they backed themselves into a corner, into a situation they couldn't find their way out of because of their lies. And sometimes that's what we do. That's the way we find ourselves. We feel like there's no other option. The truth doesn't feel like it's gonna lead us in a good direction. It might hurt, it might be hard. And so we tell a lie. and we tell another. And before we know it, we have backed ourselves into a corner. We found ourselves into a situation that we can't quite get out of. And I wonder how many times God is looking at us and just going, just tell the truth. The truth will set you free. You know, it doesn't just stop with what we say either. Proverbs tells us that the listener can be implicated as well. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. It is not okay to be a dumping ground for people, to be a garbage collector of gossip and complaining. And honestly, here's the truth, you don't really want to be that. I know that juicy bit of gossip, it seems like it's tasty in the moment, but over time, being people's dumping ground becomes exhausting. And it's just wrong. Proverbs says it is evil. Gossip is wrong. Oakley talked about this a bit last week in the context of our friendships. If you weren't here, if you haven't listened to that, you should go back and give it a listen. When it comes to gossip, you might think if you're not the one talking, if you're not the one speaking the gossip, that you're not doing anything wrong. But the proverb says, no, no, no. By not speaking up, you are allowing it to keep happening. You permit it. And what you permit, you promote. And so here's what I give you. Here's my little tip. Whenever I'm caught as the listener in this situation, here's what I do. I imagine that they're talking about me. What would I want someone who's listening to that about me to do? And in that, I become a much more empathetic and active participant in the process of shutting down the gossip. So here's the bottom line. What you do with your words, it matters to God. And if what you're doing with your words is an abomination to God, it's going to suck the life out of you, because your words, in your words, is the power of life and death. Which brings me to point two, our words have power. They have power. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We talked earlier about how our words have power to create or destroy. They also have power to give life or to take it. I remember as a young adult, just out of college, first job in ministry, I have my first student that brings me something that just feels big and heavy and difficult that I couldn't quite wrap my arms around, didn't quite know what to do with. And so I called up an old professor, someone that I'd had in college that had done some of my youth ministry courses. I'm like, hey, can we meet? And he's like, sure. And so I go to him and I kind of lay out the situation for him, and I'll never forget what he said to me. He says, you know what, Daniel? I'm not quite sure you're going to make it in ministry. You are lazy and you just don't listen. And he was talking out of this place of like, dude, you got to see in my class, I taught you these things. Like, why didn't you pay attention? And 13 years removed from that moment, I can give him some grace. I can see that what he saw in that moment was just a young punk that didn't pay any attention in class. But in that moment, man, that hurt. And it wasn't honest. It wasn't truthful. It wasn't helpful. I mean, it did damage. Like, for weeks, I was reeling about what he had said. Our words matter. They have power. Matthew 12:36 and 37 says this, says, I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. We will be held accountable for our words, every single one of them. Even the words that just fall out of our mouth without us ever even thinking. Words have power. And they also have power to do good. Proverbs, that same Proverbs at the end says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So here's what you need to do tonight. If your words have hurt, if your words have done damage, the words of the wise brings healing. There's two simple words that can help you in that situation. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Take ownership of it. And by saying I'm sorry, you are speaking words of healing. A third little bit of wisdom is that our words do have limitations. Our words have practical limitations. Proverbs 14:23 says this. It says, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. And you know this, don't you, right? The talk, walk the walk. Someone is all talk, no action. Talk is cheap, right? All these are just modern interpretations of what Proverbs is telling us right here. And whether those words are boastful or just plain lazy, words alone don't get us very far. Words alone do not change our reality. At some point, you gotta put up or shut up. Our words have limitations. Here's another limitation. Our excuses, they do not impress God. Proverbs 24:12 says, behold, we did not know this. Does not he who weighs the heart, though, perceive it? In other words, if you see something happening and there's an action that you need to take it. Don't just talk about it. If you see someone suffering and all you do is wish them well and then go on about your way, what good is that? When deeds are required, words are empty and God is not fooled. He's not satisfied. Another limitation of our words cannot protect us, and a lot of times they actually expose us. Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. To sum this point up, our words leave us without excuse. Our words expose us. They reveal the true nature of things. Jesus says it this way. He says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And man, do I find that to be true in my life. I don't know about you, but when I'm disconnected from Jesus, my relationship just isn't there. When I'm filling my life with junk, it is easy to say things that are harsh and critical. I'm quick to judge. I make jokes at someone at other people's expenses. But when I'm connected and whenever I'm living from a place of deep relationship with Jesus, that changes. It allows me to be slow with my words, more generous with my criticisms. What I'm poking at here is really where we're going with point four. It's that this, it's God's words are our life and our future. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass and all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And he says this, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. You were reborn through the living and abiding word of God, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Through the gospel of Jesus proclaimed, we have life. That's how God renews us, each and every one of us, totally and fully through the gospel message of his love for sinners like you and me. And that renewal is an inside out, full bodied renewal. That quote we read earlier said, what is done to you is of little account beside what is done in you, for good or ill. And if you are in Christ, hearing and accepting that good news, God's word is what is being done in you. It is abiding in you as you abide in Christ. As we come to a close tonight, I'm struck by this thought that there's one of two people in the room. You're in one of two spots. You're either sitting here tonight and you're saying to yourself, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the wisdom of these Proverbs. God, thank you for how practical they are. They give me what I need to use my words well. Or you're saying to yourself, dang, now I see it. Now I get it. I see how the carelessness of my words have broken and destroyed. I see why I've lost friends and alienated people. I've been foolish and I've got some work to do. And that spot can feel like a really, really deep hole to dig out of. But here's the good news. Here's the gospel for all of us who are trusting in Christ on this issue. You are accepted, not excluded. You are still in communion and conversation with Christ because at the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Literally, God, why have you turned your face from me? Why aren't you still speaking to me? And in that moment, God stopped communicating acceptance to Jesus so that he would never have to stop communicating acceptance to us. Will you believe that? On the cross, Jesus loved us so much that his sacrifice deleted the damning record before God of every foolish word that you and I have ever spoken. And man, I don't know about you, but that is good news for me. So what? For the next 120 seconds, I want us to take a moment and I want us just to process this a bit. First off, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you've used your words in the past week. Have you used them to build and to create and to form, or have you used them to destroy and to break and to divide? How have you used them? And then secondly, I want you to ask for forgiveness for where you've used your words to destroy, break, and divide. Ask God, pray for forgiveness. And don't just stop there. Once you're done with that, once we're done with service tonight, you probably need to pick up the phone and ask someone else for forgiveness for the words you said. Those two words, right? I'm sorry. They're powerful. They can be healing for those situations. And then thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see opportunities to use your words to create, form, and build. How can you lift someone up? How can you encourage someone? Just this morning as a staff, we got together in a staff meeting. One of the things we do every time we do that is brag on a bro and sis. And we call out in each other things that we saw happen, things that someone did well. And man, you can see in that moment that the applause, the cheers in those rooms, they are life-giving words. How can you be that for someone? How can you create, form, and build? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see where your words can be just that. Let's pray. God, I thank you. Thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for the word, for Jesus, for his abiding presence in us as we abide in him. God, we could not do this apart from the power of you and your Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray that as the people in this room work this out tonight, that as they make phone calls to say, I'm sorry, that you would be present, that reconciliation would happen in those moments, that restoration of those relationships would happen, God, that your Spirit would bind where there's been division. And God, I pray that this room would become an army, an army of people who lift up, who build and form and create with their words in the same way, in the same power that you do. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.